welcome to Wednesday Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside. We'll take you to 3. Normally, we would hand it off to our good friend Phil Benanti, but Phil is heading up to Sacramento Affiliates Night for the A's tonight. So he'll be back with you tomorrow when the Giants wrap up the afternoon game with the Cubs. And so Phil will be at Fashion Furniture as always tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about what's going on in his home area of Sacramento tonight, as the A's have been a royal pain in the rear end to the Tigers. The A's are actually playing pretty good baseball, and they have been for several weeks. It's just they are so far back that you don't notice. They're kind of like the IndyCar driver who's 10 laps behind late, but he's passing a lot of people. But the A's are entertaining as hell to watch, and we'll see what happens tonight, as the Tigers would like to get one. The Giants are over on the Oracle side of things tonight, and that means for us here on 1430 as they and the Cubs continue that series. Cubs need to win, the Giants winning last night. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later on, courtesy of our friend Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. Give them a call at 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, when we go over the schedule for both 1430 and 790, I'll tell you about Engineering Yard. It's a great fundraiser Ed has for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Jack Pertig with me today to talk basketball and football in combination. I want to mention this, that so many emails out there. I know, Mark, you sent one yesterday. Our good friend Clovis Dave earlier in the week. JJ, terrific email. I'm glad you had time there at the either in the air or at the airport back in Kansas to send the email. Guys, the way the schedule works this week, because the Giants have the afternoon game tomorrow, as I mentioned, Phil will be coming up when the game ends, but it does take this show off. It pushes everything back and around, and on Friday, Brian Panish will be with us for the first time during the football season, our longtime pal and Bulldog from the 70s when I was a small child. Will be with us live from Scotland to talk about things. That's right, he's in Scotland. He's always somewhere that isn't L.A. So because of that, scheduling-wise this week, it's tough for me to get to a lot of the emails. I will get to the best I can, what I can, during the time we have today with Jack. But mainly, a lot of it's going to have to wait, unfortunately, until next week, because it does cost me the Thursday preempt the other day with Jackson during the week. Anyway, that having been said, before we get to Jack Pertig, Brother Lead Dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you. Want to remind you, if you're on the way home right now, good for you. If you're looking for a meal right now, good for you as well. Or if you're looking at 5 o'clock, keep in mind, our buddies at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman have jumped aboard the Bulldog Bread Collective. We're so pleased to have this international, national, and local company lining up behind Fresno State, trying to be part of the solution there. And they have the great deals going on right now. The Phillips, $7 Phillips, limited time, right there front and center at the local KFCs. That means you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, and each come with drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. A great deal for $7. You can also top it all off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. So a terrific offer at the local KFCs, who are still very much behind F1, the movie, the great Brad Pitt offering about Formula One racing. Also keep in mind the Tuesday deal underway, which is long-term, $10 for 8 pieces of KFC dark meat chicken, original extra crispy, or 8 original recipe tenders. So great offers at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. If you stop by, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. We thank Ed Dunkel all the time, and Joe Cruz, who we'll bring up in a moment, and the people at KFC for really being there to try to level the playing field. I mentioned our good buddy Gary up in Atwater was there in Lawrence, Kansas, and said you could see firsthand the difference that NIL money makes. And David Booth decided to throw about 350 million of those dollar bills at his alma mater up there. So it does make a huge difference, and we're going to have to do it here on a great grassroots level. And so we appreciate all that are jumping aboard. Speaking of that, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades. His great business, celebrating his 25th anniversary right now, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. Give him a call at 266-7473-266-PIPE. For more information, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct mail, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. We talk about this every day. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, everything is there in-house for any industrial need, family-friendly business. And the great aspect of what Joe can do for you is not only the attention to detail about the problems you might be having, but the immediate action, which means if you've got a valve going down, for instance, if you're at a plant, if you're a maintenance worker, if you're around a boiler service, a delivery service, tanker truck, anybody who relies upon a valve, if that valve goes down, your business goes down in a big hurry. And Joe will tell you right now, having a problem, give him a call, stop by and see him. Tell him exactly what you need. He'll analyze it, give you an estimate, and same-day service, and it'll get you back up and running or keep you from having to even miss a beat or two along the way. It's a great business. That's why he's had such terrific success and has been able to donate directly to Fresno State. And if you stop by, if you have some time after he addresses what you need for your business, he will tell you what he has done for Fresno State and will tell you the best avenue right now. Go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then under ways to give, the individual sports clubs. For instance, quarterback club for football. Timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig on the board of directors there with me in just a second. We'll talk both basketball and football today. Jack has said they'd love more members for the timeout club. He said call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. There are links there for other sports as well. Dugout club, for instance, for baseball. Other men's and women's sports are there under ways to give. And then finally, the Bulldog Bread Collective brought it up in relation to KFC. Chris started it at the station, handed it off to Marcus McMarion. Very, very important for people getting involved with NIL to contact Marcus. BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, the Bulldog Grape from a few years ago, get back to you right away and get you headed in the right direction to help out Fresno State and help out your business as well. Anyway, BulldogBread.com. So thanks to Joe Cruz, as always, for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. And then finally, speaking of our friend Gary up in Atwater, he mentioned he saw a Lee's air plumbing, heating, and roofing truck up there today. Lee's is ubiquitous. They have been all over NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. They've been a sponsor for a long time on this station and this show. They've been in at my house to do work even during COVID. Really professional people. If you need anything at all along those lines of central air plumbing, heating, or roofing, make sure you give them a call. You can find them at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or on the web at leesair.com. Also, they sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we'll bring Jack Furtig up, and it's how Phil not only brings up his guests, but also the callers from the general public, and that is 559-320-1430. What Lee's allows me to do is tell you about the weather every day, and as opposed to yesterday, less problematic today, because yesterday we were having a very interesting day, as you know. We've settled back down kind of normal late August, headed to September weather. The high is slated to be 98 today, 97 tomorrow, 98 Friday. It's supposed to be right around 99 or so for game day on Saturday, 101 Sunday, 100 on Monday, and then that's Labor Day. And then we go 99, 98, 96 as we get into September. Fairly typical weather, and it's comfortable enough at night in the high 60s, low 70s. So we're used to it. This has been a relatively calm summer, very few really hot days. But one thing we do want to mention, other than the obvious, which is the air quality, those wildfires are still an issue, and particularly the Garnet Fire around the upper reaches, Pine Flat Reservoir, etc. Those are still major issues, so be very careful around there. And even traveling around the state, we know the coastal areas down in SoCal still worried about the fires as well. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for, again, allowing us the time to bring you the weather again. Lee'sAir.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. So thanks to Lee's. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, everybody, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, we turn to our longtime friend and paisan of the highest order. It is Jack Furtick. Jack, how you doing?
Doing great, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Jack. The allergies are always a battle this time of year, but that's me and just about everybody else in the valley. So it's not exactly an exclusive party, if you know what I mean. I do want to mention this to the million emails about the media deal with the CW. I have not been able to say a lot about it. People that are close to it understand why. All I can tell you guys, and I don't have time to get into all the particulars, but Jack is very familiar with media deals because he was the director of basketball operations at Fresno State and had a lot of what he did, particularly when Tark was here, governed by television. It is not a surprise that the main media partner, and along with CBS, which has been there the entire time throughout the traditional Mountain West time, that the CW, which was the choice of Oregon State and Washington State and has been their partner exclusively since the breakaway, not a surprise that the CW now joins CBS as the lead partners, because when you looked around, you know this, Fox, NBC have made major commitments, and even CBS, to the Big Ten. We've talked about ESPN and their desire to own things exclusively. That's what they have in the SEC and what they have essentially in the ACC as well. So they were not going to party with anybody else the way they did in the Big 12, because it hasn't worked out great in the Big 12. We've talked about this over and over again. ESPN is still stewing about this deal that caused them to have to swallow that $31.6 million, at least $21.6 of it, with each of those four schools that broke away, the corner schools. So ESPN was in no mood to get involved in a partnership anymore. So you figured that the holdovers would stay, and that's exactly what happened. CBS, who had been with the Mountain West, moves over to be part of the pack, because it's the upper echelon, of course, of the Mountain West now that turns into the pack. And then Oregon State and Washington State, they keep their relationship alive, and now you end up with fully produced football and men's basketball and a lot of women's basketball games, and then the rest of the stuff will be in-house. It's all going to be produced by the Pac-12 network, but the rest of the stuff will be in-house. There's not going to be, have this question, it's going to be like the old days of a satellite feed on DirecTV and then cable feeds. No, nobody's doing that anymore. It's all going to go direct to consumer. It's all going to go direct through the internet, but it doesn't mean your production values aren't going to be of the highest level. It also means that you're going to see a lot of familiar faces doing the games that you've seen before. I will say this, anybody, CW, anybody at the Pac-12 who doesn't give Matt Norvell a call is a damn fool, because Matt Norvell ought to be on those telecasts. He is one of our friends. He's the voice right now, the women's program at Fresno State, and he is absolutely terrific. And I've made it clear to those people that they have got a gem here in Matt Norvell. And I'm certainly hopeful that when things sort out after this year, that we'll see Matt on telecast all around the Mountain West, the Pac-12, the former Mountain West. And Jack, I'll turn to you right now about the contract. I didn't see, Jack, through all these negotiations, anywhere else that it was going to go but this. And we don't know the monies right now, but I don't think the Pac-8, if you will, and wherever we're headed beyond that, I don't think they could ask for much more than this right now. How do you feel about it?
No, I agree. They might ask more if they got Matt Norvell, because he's definitely the best dressed play-by-play by anybody you could find.
Well, you've worked with Matt.
And he'll dress for radio. Can imagine what he'd do if he was on TV.
Yes, well, I've seen it. Yeah, you're right. Very, very, very impressive, Jack. You're right about that. But beyond that, beyond the sartorial splendor of Matt Norville, which I'm sure he appreciates that, the reality that you knew that what they're going to look for is as much coverage as they can get for football and men's and women's basketball, and then the rest of the sports. That's the way in a lot of places. It's not that way when you have the SEC network or the ACC network, but or the Big Ten network, for instance. But, Jack, for somebody around Fresno State land and the rest of the schools, that's basically what you're looking at. When you get beyond those sports, it's up to the schools to produce quality content and up to the network to make the technical quality better than it has been in the past. Beyond that, you're not going to look for a third-tier national operator for sports that don't generate that kind of revenue. That's just common sense, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's business. You know, I mean, you have to separate what you want as a fan from, what a business decision. And, you have to realize everybody wants different things, and they all have to jive together. And sometimes it doesn't. And, we talked about it before. The overriding factor always becomes money. So, there might have to be a little give and take.
Well, and that's the whole thing. You want to make sure that the production monies you are spending are coming back to you, meaning that the national networks want to pay for certain sports. Other sports are still very important, but that's when you have to turn to each individual member institution and say, okay, you need to carry your weight. You need to produce quality content. So because you're going to have, don't misunderstand me out there, guys, you're going to have a Pac-12, they'll call it. It's Pac-8 right now. I'm going to be more than that in baseball, of course, in the future. But let's call it Pac-12 for the moniker's sake. You're going to have a Pac-12 network that you're going to have available to you on the Internet, et cetera. But the games that are high-profile nature, that's where your monies are going to be made, and you don't want to be throwing money away for sports that, while they are very important, don't generate revenue. And that's that tricky issue. And, Jack, that's why we come around the bend over and over again about this. What is the role of collegiate athletics in this day and age? It is, as you referenced the Don Ohlmeyer line, the role is all about generating money. Now, that might not have been the original intent. I don't know. But I know the reality is you cannot run a deficit unless you are someone like Big Ten or the SEC or somebody who's being given mega millions by the networks. When you're given X number of dollars and you need them to run your athletic departments, as an individual member institution and as a group as a whole that creates a conference, Jack, you can't be throwing monies away. You can't be. And I think everybody understands that. And, I've mentioned this, Jack, that when you go all the way back, it's hard to imagine this, but the original Mountain West, the one that broke away from the WAC, and keep in mind, we've talked about this, Fresno State has spent so much time chasing conferences, catching up, and then being left behind again. The Bulldogs got to the WAC, start of the 90s, as an individual entrant, but they were also part, tacitly or directly, of bringing others along that they should not have been in favor of. So the original member institutions pull away to form the Mountain West. And when the Mountain West did that, Jack, they were actually incredibly up on satellite. They had 7, 8 different channels up there on DirecTV, on Dish, etc. Now think about that now, Jack. What kind of fiscal sense would that make with those markets of that size now? All you would be doing is throwing money away, and the satellite operators can't afford it. That's for sure. If you know what's going on with DirecTV and Dish, you'll know. And you certainly can't expect cable operators to do that. So you have to have common sense there, don't you?
Oh, sure. I mean, the other thing, you talked about quality. When there's so many games on at the same time, and you hate to have to change from, let's say, a network game, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and go to CW, and the quality is let's just say, inferior. It doesn't help your product any just to be on TV if your quality is not gonna match or at least come close to what you're seeing. You look like a stepchild, when you go from one game to another. So yeah, quality matters and money matters, and you know, you do have to throw in the Olympic sports as well, because there are people who want to see those, and because you have some high quality Olympic sport programs at these Mountain West schools. So yeah, it's a hard puzzle to put together, and I'm just glad I don't have to do it. But you're not going to satisfy everybody. And I think people have to come to grips with that you may not get exactly what you want. You know, it's Mick Jagger's line. You know, you can't always get what you want.
Right, yeah. Exactly. That's how he ended up with Bianca, I believe, but that's a story for another time. Or Jerry Hall. See, you and I are so damned old, we know these references. Both of us dated those people, for goodness sake. All right, now, which is not too far from the truth, that's a story for another time, Jack. But here's the thing, and you just brought it up, Jack, the means of distribution and the means of production. The break you get in this day and age is the viability now of the Internet is it can be a viable means of distribution. I've said this before, Jack, a million times, because I spend, as you know, all day long doing this. You know, as a legal consultant, that's what I do during the day, is fighting this stuff. If you owe me $20 and I'm working at a restaurant and you pull up outside and some buddy of mine runs out into the parking lot and says, "Oh, Jack, are you bringing that $20 to Tony? Hey, listen, give it to me, Jack, and I'll bring it to Tony." And you go, "Okay, well, all right, I'll give," and he takes a cut of a couple of bucks. You understand what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if, however, you look at him and say, "You know, I really can go ahead and go in and hand it to him just as easy. So you are not a guy who's flying all the way across country on some multi-billion-dollar deal for me. So I'll handle it myself." That's what's happened, Jack, with the distribution now. In other words, this is why the regional sports networks have gotten in trouble, like, you know, had all of them go bankrupt, et cetera. A lot of them did anyway. It's because they were not responsible for the means of production that was happening with the teams, of course, committing to the players that do that, right? Then you had production companies that were putting this stuff together, and all they were, they were the liaison. They were the deliverer of the content. Well, guess what, Jack? In supply-side economics, if you're the guy who's writing the song, okay, and I'm the guy who's singing the song, I need you and you need me. You know what we don't need? We don't need the runner in between to hand the copy from you to me, right? Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what's happened to these regional sports networks. Because of direct-to-consumer, the reality took place where they said, "Wait a minute here. We don't need to go through cable companies. Look at what ESPN is doing. We don't have to go through satellite stuff. It's great for distribution, but 20 years ago it was an imperative. Otherwise, we could not get our product out to people. Now what they say is, if you can make us a fair deal, we're more than happy to be on your cable carriage or your satellite carriage." And of course, there are a lot of long-term contracts that have to run out here. But the bottom line is, you no longer need that distributor. So it means you had better be the one responsible for the content, meaning the institutions, or those that are responsible for the production of the content. If you're the middleman, Jack, you are completely and totally superfluous. And that is the reality of the economics that we're looking at, which is why you have to be very careful if you're a Pac-12, for instance, that you know where your hierarchy sits vis-a-vis everybody else. And you say, okay, we have product that the CW wants. We have product that CBS wants. We also have product that's important to our member institutions that those two networks don't necessarily want or have to have. That's why you can't get the way Larry Olimo Larry got with the Pac-12 network and say, okay, we're going to produce everything and we're going to put it up on DirecTV and we're going to ask for all this money. And guess what happened, Jack? They never got the deal. And it was one of the things that effectively killed the Pac-12 network. They couldn't get on the main sports entity, DirecTV, year after year after year. There'd be negotiations. At one point, AT&T had a vested interest in both, and they still couldn't make the deal. So what I'm telling you is we are going to see, I think, a very intelligent approach to the production. And I think CBS and CW is about as good as you're going to get right now. And that's about all I can say about that to all of you who asked. Anything you want to add, Jack? It'll be to be continued, obviously.
No, right. And people have to understand that independent of what they think, let's say, of you, you know more than most people do. I mean, this is your business. I mean, I have a guy putting in a fence around my pool, and he started asking me questions. I said, look, I'm hiring you. If I knew what to do, I'd do it myself. You know, go ahead. You know, between what you know plus what I know equals what you know. So why am I, and having been a coach and being second-guessed all the time, I just don't second-guess anybody when I bring them in to do a job. You can talk out of, somebody once said, after a guy made a ridiculous comment, that has to be your butt talking because your mouth knows better.
Exactly. When you say that, what you add up another person reminds you, you remember Tommy Aaron, when he talked about he and his brother combining for X number of home runs, his brother happened to have been Henry Aaron. Okay. Or Al Addles had the running joke. You know, Al was on the court as the point guard the night that Wilt scored 100 points in Hershey, Pennsylvania, right? And Al actually had a great night. He was 8-for-8 from the floor. And he said, you remember the night that that Wilt and I combined for 116 points? Remember that joke?
So, right. Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, listen, that guys, that's the most I can tell you about the media deal. I cannot and will not get into the monies. That will come out later. I just want you to know, given what they were facing, it is about as good as you're going to see out of this thing. And I know there's some people wanted ESPN with the new app and all of that, but it really gets complicated. That's probably the best way to say it. Jack, I want to ask you this. Because we don't have a lot of time today, and of course, basketball-wise, we have a number of weeks where we unfold into the season. In this day and age, and you've been through a lot of the coaching searches on the committee, or you've had times when you were actually in front of committees, etc. Have we reached a point now, and this may be the ultimate in cynicism on my part, and I apologize for that in advance, where if you're an athletic director and you're bringing in a coach, that the first thing you have to say is, I see your resume. Yeah, I see your recommendations. How much money can you bring? I mean, have we reached that point of cynicism where an athletic director not only would not be an unsavory thing to do, but that it's a reality? What do you say?
Well, when I started in coaching, in college coaching, 1972, and for many years after, athletic directors were former coaches. I remember when I was at Vermont, and the athletic director was a former football coach. At Washington State, Ray Nagel was a former football coach. Oregon had an interim guy. But I was at Western Carolina, Bob Waters, former player with the Niners. He was the athletic director. When I was at Tennessee, we had Doug Dickey, followed Bob. I can't remember. Can't believe I don't know. Great guy. They were both former University of Florida football coaches. When I got to Toledo, it changed. And I think what changed was the role of the athletic director. The athletic director used to be to take care of the coaches and overlook the sports, making sure the coaches were doing a good job. And they're the liaison to the rest of the university. Now the athletic director's job is to balance the budget. And now you're getting business people who are athletic directors, and they have their own way of looking at things, right or wrong. And they, you know, that, like you said, how much money can you bring in as a coach? I got to balance the budget. So, you know, if you can go 0-26 and bring in zillions of dollars, okay, well, maybe we can handle that for a while. But basically, what I'm looking for is somebody who can help me do what I need to do in my role, is, and that's balance the budget. I mean, you know, Saul Jimenez came out and said that this year the university is not going to be able to subsidize the athletic department. Well,
right.
What does that mean? What does that mean? There's not enough money to go around. So, QED, as we used to say in math, you know, I mean, that's what's known. That's the way it's going to be. And unfortunately, you know, it's not what people want, but that's just the reality.
Well, and Jack, along those lines, when we talk, for instance, about the media deal, when it comes out and the finances come out, there are going to be people that are upset. So we should be worth more money. No, you're going to be worth exactly what the market says you're worth. You know, the old Bill Parcells line, right? About, you know, you are what your record says you are. Your worth is based upon what every media partner out there was willing or could pay for you. So it's very similar to a player, right? Here's an example. Ronnie Rivers was just cut. Ronnie Rivers wasn't cut because he's not a quality player. Ronnie Rivers was cut because the Rams gave the lead back in front of him a ton of money. And as Ronnie moves through as a vested veteran, he becomes more expensive. Pat Hill and I have talked about this, Jack, slotting. You know this well. Each position has a slot financially that teams put together. It's why people look at the draft and say, why didn't you draft this guy? Because our slotting for cornerbacks, we didn't have the money for that particular position. For Ronnie Rivers, his trouble was, as he was making more money, they were spending more on Williams, and they spent a ton to bring him back in as the first stringer, which has been that way. And now it's going to be cheaper to bring in a rookie. So it's the numbers game. And this is what happens. You are what the marketplace at a given time is willing to pay for you. And that can vary. It's why the comment about don't ever think your self-worth should be tied into what you make professionally, because what you make professionally may have more to do with the marketplace at that time than your ability in your particular job. It's hard to get people to understand that, particularly younger people, but it's the truth. But the bottom line is, Jack, right now, if you're sitting in, and I know it's an impossible question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you're sitting in Saul's seat, for instance, the ultimate authority, how tough is it, no matter what people say under you, to want to start over again in any sport if you've got a coach that has proven he or she can bring in money, and even if they are not making the progress you want, they're at least starting to make progress? Does the fear factor of bringing somebody else in who I don't know can bring money along for NIL, that supersedes everything? In other words, you're back to the fear of the known versus the fear of the unknown. That's something I never thought you and I might have a conversation about, because if it ever came down to it, we'd be saying somebody's breaking the rules of the NCAA, right? Instead, so I guess what I'm saying, when people say, get this guy the hell out of there, or get this woman out of there because they're not winning, if you're sitting in the seat and you're going, wait a minute, even though the attendance might not be what we want and the record might not, this person is bringing enough funds along and recidivistic funds that are going to be there that we have to hold on to them. Is that something that people are going to have trouble grasping, that might be part of the equation?
Well, I think that the reason people have trouble grasping it is because you have a guy like Jimbo Fisher who wasn't winning as much at Texas A&M as they wanted. So they said, we're going to bring somebody else in. And okay, so we have to pay you $75 million. You know, we'll do it. Well, Texas A&M is a little different than, we don't have as much oil here as they have down there. And, right. And they can do that. So you have schools that say, well, you know, Texas A&M, this guy was winning games, but they got rid of him. Why don't we get rid of our guy? Because, you know, we don't, you know, we're not winning as much as they were. It all comes back to the money. And, you know, and like I said, the athletic director's job is to balance the budget. And the athletic director is beholden to the president. The president is beholden to the board of trustees. And when decisions are made, that's how they're made. And people need to understand it. It's not, you know, it's not a common sense proposition in many cases.
Then, Jack, it comes full circle to where we are in sport. Back to Saturday previous, mentioned our pal Gary, longtime friend up in Atwater, great guy, huge Bulldog fan. He's gone through a lot physically and yet still makes trips and everything. He's really extraordinary. He's retirement age, a few years younger than I am. And he talked about one email he sent me from the game. He said, I see firsthand what a difference NIL money makes. This is a peer group school, in my opinion, in Kansas, Jack. We mentioned this before. When the Bulldogs play the upper echelon of the Big Ten or the SEC or even the ACC, the absolute upper echelon of the ACC, talking about the Clemsons, the Miamis, the Florida States, those kind of schools, I get it that they're really up against it, particularly on the road. But there is nobody on paper in the Big 12 that is head and shoulders above Fresno State, to the point the Bulldogs, and you know this, played in conference with three schools that right now are in the Big 12, Utah, BYU, and TCU. Those were all former conference mates of Fresno State. The Bulldogs should never be overwhelmed, even going on the road against schools like that. When you look at what we saw on Saturday, I know it was the first game of the season, and we're not going to overreact, but to Gary's comment about NIL money, Jack, is it because of a David Booth, or is it because the conference itself has a huge advantage? What do you say?
Well, physical therapist, Randy Hill, at Evolve, is one of the biggest Bulldog fans you'll ever find. And he said something very, very interesting to me. He went to the dinner and came back and said, you know, we auctioned off a golf cart for $41,000, which is pretty amazing. And right. Then right after that, we heard that the guy at Kansas gave $300 million. That kind of tells you, you know, what the difference is. I mean, you know, $41,000 is terrific for a golf cart. You know, I mean, you can get a car for $41,000. But when somebody's given $300 million, where's our guy who's given $300 million? And that's the difference in the games today. You're seeing guys, I mean, you're playing with, you know, it's like a small business going up against a big business, and you'd notice every once in a while, the big businesses wipe out the small business, the mom and pops.
Right.
And right now, whether we like it or not, we're a mom and pop until we get somebody who's going to give us that kind of donation. Then we're right with the upper echelon.
And Jack, we're, as usual, too quickly out of time, and I'm going to try to rectify this in the future so we have more time. But to finish with this, is it an aberration saying a Kansas, and first of all, I'm not using it as an excuse for the Bulldogs losing 31-7, okay? They are not 24 points in arrears as the Kansas. Bulldogs made some mistakes. KU played real well. So we'll find out at the end of the year how good Kansas was. I brought up Colorado in 2001. We thought Oregon State was going to be the big game. Turned out Colorado, by the end of the year, was the best team by far on the schedule, and the Bulldogs did win that game at the start of the year. So we'll let it play out for both Fresno State and for Kansas. But Do you say, you know what, you can't worry about the David Blues of the world any more than you can worry about the Phil Knights or in the old days, the T. Boone Pickens, or, you know, a Steve Ballmer, for instance, wants to get involved. You cannot worry about those that are aberrations, that the vast majority of, at least in conference, you're going to be dealing with people that have the same issues you have. Or do you look at what's happening at Boise State or the help that Utah State or Colorado State is getting from their state and say, you know what, Bulldogs are really in for it right now. How do you feel about it solely within your peer group right now?
Well, to answer that a different way, in the game Saturday, we're playing with a new quarterback, a new head coach, and two new coordinators. They're playing with the preseason player of the year at quarterback, with a veteran coach. Everybody's saying this is what Kansas finally wanted after going through so many coaches who lost. It wasn't surprising that we lost. And, you know, I said, I think at the end of the first quarter, if we can hang in, if it's tied, I think we have a chance to win. And it wasn't tied. It was 14-7, and they had two possessions and two touchdowns. I don't think you can. This is from a coach's point of view. You can't worry and put the doom and gloom right now over one game. Let's see how we do this week. Follow Kansas and see what they're doing. Like you said, Colorado a few years ago, wow, you know, just the opposite of Oregon State when we beat them here, and they were preseason number one, according to Sports Illustrated. At the end of the year, they weren't close to preseason number one. The season's going to develop, and, you know, we just have to hang in. This is our conference. This is what we have, and next year we have even a better one. So we're going to need people to step up. And we're going to need, you know, some recruiting wins in terms of evaluating somebody and getting them for a cheaper price, because you're not going to get the superstars are going for millions now. And I have a tough time wrapping my head around it.
Jack, I appreciate the time as always. Again, we'll get back to basketball. Obviously, we have time for that. We have a few preemptions coming up on Wednesdays in the next few weeks, but we'll dive into basketball one more time. More members, Timeout Club. Give Jack a call directly, 559-287-3305, or FertigJack@AOL.com. I'll leave you with this, my friend. Everything you say about Kansas, 100% true. But the one thing I will ask, just in theory, and it's a rhetorical question right now. You have in Jalen Daniels a guy who has been there now for six seasons, essentially, from 2020 on. COVID, a lot of twists and turns, redshirt year. But ask yourself this, without the monies, was Jalen Daniels going to be there yesterday or Saturday? And that's my question I think we all have to wonder about, right? The money that was there kept him there, because you can't tell me, despite his loyalty, that without the money, he would have stuck around. He would have gone somewhere else by now. So that's just the reality. Good for Kansas. He was there, and he was a difference maker. So anyway, Jack, appreciate it, my friend. I will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tony. Hang in there, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Jack Purdy, take a break. Come back with more. Bolt Power continues on this Wednesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to 52, about 3 or 4 minutes ago in the show. Phil is off today. He's up at the affiliates fest up there in Sacramento with the rest of the affiliates for the A's. So he'll be back with you tomorrow. I'll tell you all about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel in his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And once again, Engineering Yard is a great fundraiser that Ed has for the Lyles College of Engineering underway once again. The goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students, doing that by donating for every yard gained through the air at Fresno State, a terrific endeavor, and we appreciate everything that Ed and his company do for Fresno State. As far as the schedule goes, Giants 6:15 with a 6:45 again tonight on 1430. The A's have a 6:30 with a 7:05 on 790. It is a 7 o'clock start for us tonight because Paul Metters will have his fine show, Sunbird Sports Report, back, which is a long-running show about Fresno Pacific Athletics, on 796 to 7. So the pregame for the A's will be cut short, but you won't miss first pitch at all. So that gets started at 6, then the A's at 7 o'clock. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. To reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. Phil normally with you 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his fine show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, Best Furniture on the Planet, the great conversation of Phil's show, and also some good eats, El Paso across from River Park. Don't forget, of course, about Bulldog Bread Collective. Very important. Everything you need for Fresno State, bulldogbread.com, in regard to fundraising. If you have a donation or a sponsorship idea, contact Marcus McMarion. Keep in mind, Friday night football coming up this week. Clovis and Salinas, the Rodeo Bowl, as the Salinas Cowboys come in 7 o'clock with a 7:30 kick at La Monica. We have, of course, baseball all the way through the World Series. We've got the NFL, 49ers, Raiders, and Rams all the way through the Super Bowl, through Westwood One, NBA all the way with the Lakers through ESPN Radio. So everything else going on at the station, it's always a busy time. The other reminder one more time, our buddies at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, they have the terrific deal going on right now, the $7 fill-up. You can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or their famous classic bowl. Each come with drink, sides, and even a sweet pie poppers opportunity. Also, don't forget peaches and cream, sweet lightning sodas there as well. They are proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. So if you have a chance, stop in. Tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. It is much appreciated. As we talked over and over again with Jack Furtick, it is a real important time for all of us at Fresno State to try to get things done. Anyway, thanks to Jorge. Thanks to everybody, including Jack Furtick. We are off tomorrow. We will see you on Friday with Brian Panish from Scotland. It'll be 10 o'clock at night in Scotland when Brian is there, I'm sure, at some pub somewhere. This ought to be quite something. Thanks to everybody for hanging in. Again, Phil will be back with you tomorrow. Giants coming up. A's over on 790 right after Paul Metters tonight at 6 o'clock. Paul also has his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays on 1430 from First Ring Sports. This is KFIG Fresno.